Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have a return guest back to the show, Noemi Barris. Noemi is an entrepreneur, artist, and the creator of Silent Thinking Sessions, a calm, judgment-free space for people to pause, reflect, and reconnect with their thoughts. This is not therapy, it's not coaching, and not meditation. It's a new concept designed to offer quiet support in a noisy world. Noemi also runs Podcast Connections, helping entrepreneurs grow their visibility through strategic podcast guesting. With a background in linguistics and a love for presence over performance, she holds a gentle space where silence becomes a powerful tool for clarity and healing. Noemi, welcome back to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure having you back on the program today.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's an honor to be here again. I'm so looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. And for those of you who may not have known, Noemi was a guest on my podcast back in 2024. We talked about your passion for art and creativity and how that helped you get through some very challenging life circumstances. And today we're having you back because you reached out to me about a really exciting project that I'm anxious to really talk about, and that's Silent Thinking Sessions. And my understanding, you also have a podcast attached to that now, am I correct?
That's right. I just launched it like 2 weeks ago. It's the Silent Thinking Podcast. So yes, I just started my own podcast.
Yeah. And that's something that I want to get into later in the show with you in terms of what the mission of the podcast is and what you hope to accomplish and who it's targeted for. But anyway, for beyond the bio, for those of you who, my listeners who may not know you, who is Noemi Barris?
So I was born and raised in Hungary in Central Europe and ended up living in Cyprus 14 years ago and counting in a beautiful Mediterranean island. And I'm an entrepreneur and I became an entrepreneur in 2007. And since then, I had an online travel-related business. But then, unfortunately, because of the pandemic, that stopped. And, we had to pivot. And that's when we started our own podcast booking agency, Podcast Connections. As you mentioned in my bio, I help entrepreneurs, business owners to get on quality podcast shows like yours for many years now. So that's what I've been doing as an entrepreneur. But I'm also a creative person. I'm an artist. I did some courses on art therapy, on positive psychology, and now my newest project is the Silent Thinking Sessions service, and I'm the Silent Thinking Sessions space holder. Is it a long? I know it's a long name, and that's my newest project, and I'm, still working on the podcast connection. It's still going strong. This is just something that came to me basically after a trip to the US this year. And I thought that this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And this is how I want to give back to people. And this is how I want to help other people to have a more relaxed, more balanced life.
And to just double back to your work with Podcast Connections to your business, I can say for a fact that you have referred some wonderful guest contributors to the podcast. If anybody's looking for a podcast agent, just stop right at Noemi, because she takes the time to really think about her clients' needs and match them with a podcast host who's going to create the appropriate platform for their message to get out. And you do that well. You just don't give a sheet to individuals. Here's 10 podcasts. Go look and tell them I sent you. You take the time to reach out. You do it very meticulously. It just makes my job as a podcaster much easier.
Thank you so much for your kind words, Dave. It's my pleasure.
You're welcome. And I like the concept of silence, because so many times I think our own worst enemy, and I'm paraphrasing this from a quote I saw on Facebook, our own worst enemy lies between our two ears. A lot of times, because of the demands of life, because of our own childhood histories or whatever, we can't shut off the self-talk in our head, which typically can be, especially if we've come from dysfunctional or unhealthy circumstances, very unhealthy and counterproductive to reaching our goals. And there's a lot to be said for silence. I said to a friend of mine, I said that, especially, and you know the history with my daughter and her transition to a new experience, is that once I quieted my mind and stopped asking questions about what if and why, I got all the answers that I needed and clarity came. But it took me quite a while to silence the inner talk and just be quiet and just see what came to me. And so I'm very anxious to see what your new service is about. And I know we have a few topics to explore related to that. The first is the power of silent thinking. Why do you believe our brains crave quiet in a very noisy world?
Because we are living in a noisy world, a very noisy world. There's so much disruption. There's so much interaction with everything, all those notifications, news, TV, everything is just, we are overwhelmed in this world, and we barely have time to reset, recharge, and rest our mind. There's so many things to do, like when you are at home or like you're working, your family, your community, everybody wants a piece of you. And then you just realize that you just don't have time to think. And for me, this realization came when I went to the US to a hiking trip this year in May. And I just realized that in the past 5 years, I didn't have time to think. Just sit down and think about the future, think about my goals, just think about my life. I mentioned in the previous podcast interview that I went through a lot of trauma in 2019 when I lost my dad to cancer and my grandma to an accident. And then I lost my business because of the pandemic. It was a lot going on because I'm an only child. I was the only support for my mom, and I'm a mother too. So I have to raise my son, start a new business from scratch in 2020. So there is a lot of things going on in the past 5 years, a lot of business decisions every day to make, tail-to-tail calls, business calls. And I just realized that I never have time just to sit down and think and just, you know, decide about the future or what my legacy will be or why I'm in this world, what am I doing here? And so I ended up on this hiking trip this year, and that was first time ever in the US, went to North Carolina. It was an amazing experience. And the quietness of the woods, of the forest there, and just hiking and just following your steps after your steps, just made me realize that I needed this. I needed this time to reflect and just to think about my life. So I got back to Cyprus and I sat down. I started to think in quiet. And I came up with the idea of the silent thinking sessions.
I think that was a great idea. And I've seen your post on LinkedIn where you are outside in nature. In nature, or as the fancy term for it now is ecotherapy. But just being out in nature has such a calming influence. And research has shown that even being outside for 30 minutes in the quiet and the calm can restore balance, can help you reduce anxiety, improve mood, and particularly if the sun's out, you're getting a natural source of vitamin D. So, you know, spending time out in nature, and I try to do that particularly whenever the weather is good. I try to just get out for at least a half hour, 45 minutes, and it just helps me reset and kind of quiet my mind from all the information overload that's constantly hitting me between school, my podcast, thinking of future projects and so just spending that little time to myself just gives me that opportunity to reset. Silent thinking can help you process emotions. I think everybody processes emotions differently in the silence, but how have you found silent thinking to help you process your emotions? How has that provided clarity for you in that sense?
It's quiet times really allow you to come up with all those buried feelings emotions and thoughts that you have, maybe for years, but you never had the time to like kind of undig them because you never had the time. There was just too much noise around us. So for me, it was really important to creating a safe space. Like, first of all, for myself, just figuring out that I need a safe space to help myself to figure things out in my life. But if I have that problem, if I have those questions and if I have those thoughts, then other people have them too. So that made me realize that I'm not the only one who's struggling with it. I had chats with people I know and trust, and they told me the same. Like, yes, I agree. We never have time to think. So basically, other people's problems reflected on my mind that, okay, we all have this trouble. We all have this lack of time, lack of space to do these things. For me, is accountability. Because just let's be honest, like, we don't usually do that. Like, okay, let's schedule 10 minutes now for thinking. Let's sit down, have a cup of tea, and just think about things. And we don't really do that. So if you have someone you are accountable for and you are providing a space for someone just with your presence, not with your words, not with like fixing someone, but just be there for them and providing that space and time, I think that that's kind of huge, because that can help people enormously when it comes to figuring out what they want to do and where are they heading in this world.
Yeah, and just our presence alone, as opposed to words, can just be very calming to somebody.
Yeah, so true.
Let's say you got a person who lives in an apartment and they have very little space to create a quiet, sacred space for themselves to reflect. What are some simple ways that they can do that, that anybody can create spaces for themselves where they can just reflect and embrace the silence?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Dave. For me, nature, as you mentioned, is kind of sacred. So when I'm out and about and I'm a walker, I walk every day if the heat doesn't stop me during the summer. Yeah. If you just walk for 10, 15 minutes without music, without listening to podcasts, without listening to audiobooks, just be with your thoughts. That's a big step if you do that, and nature helps. You can always schedule time for yourself to sit down with a cup of tea and maybe just, I'm talking about herbal teas, because obviously, you know, they help you to relax and calm your mind, and just sit down and try to gather your thoughts and maybe come up with like two things you want to go through in your mind. And that helps again to do these things, because we just never have time for it. The biggest distraction in our lives right now are our phones. And everybody knows that. I'm guilty as charged. So just putting away that phone, yes, just for 10 minutes. And I'm physically putting away, like putting it into another room. I have a great friend and we just hosted a workshop and she talks about decluttering the space, and I'm talking about decluttering the mind. And she came up with this idea, just put your phone away into a different room where you are for 20, maybe for 15, 30 minutes. And it makes wonders, because you don't always have to focus on all those notifications, all those distractions that disturbs us. Or you can always turn off, you know, those notifications from your phone forever. I did that a couple of years ago and I never looked back. It was amazing. It was a kind of freedom from that world, because I decided like who will get in touch with me and when I want to get in touch with them. And that was amazing, because obviously people can call me if there's an emergency or something, but we don't need all those notifications to disturb our life and peace and quiet.
Yeah. You're right. We can empower ourselves to determine which experiences we want to have in our life. Yeah. And which ones we don't want to have. I like the idea about walking in nature without, you know, headphones, without music, without a podcast. Because one of the things that I was taught by my good friend and mentor, Reverend Patty Farino, talked about getting out in nature. She said, just get out in nature, look around, look up, pay attention to what comes in front of you. If there's an animal that makes their presence known to you, that animal has a specific teaching. And if we believe that nature has a unique spirit all of its own, and those animals and trees and rocks that are a part of nature have a spirit and are there to teach us, then we can, that I think that can also help us embrace the silence and get an appreciation for the silent spaces in our lives.
Yeah, so true. And I I realized that, you know, when I was in the US and going on these hikes, that all those birds and the stones and the tree. So it was amazing. I opened my eyes to things that I was kind of blind to before. And it was kind of experiencing freedom again.
Yeah. It's amazing what we see when we embrace stillness, when we embrace a commitment to just seeing what messages lie in the universe around us and just beholding the magic of the universe in general. We can't do that if we're busy.
Yes, true.
Now, one of the things, and this is, as a former therapist, no, Amy, this was of interest to me, is calm as a tool for healing PTSD and depression. And why is constant talking not always helpful for trauma recovery?
I realized that I have friends, they struggle with PTSD, they struggle with depression, they struggle with a lot of things. And what I realized, and sharing their story over and over again, it's really overwhelming for them. They relive everything they went through and all the horrible things in their lives and all the trauma. And sometimes talking just makes things even worse. So I just have to put it out that I'm not a therapist, so I'm not a psychologist. But what I realized, and it's from my own experience and from my own life, that when I had a session with a therapist and I had to go through all the things that, you know, bothered me, it was horrible. And talking about it again and again. And I know that so many people are actually switching from therapist to therapist because they are not satisfied with one and they're looking for something else. So they have to share their story over again and again. And it's a lot for them. Calm, silent presence can feel safer to these people because there's no pressure. And it's sometimes it's more healing than just talking it out, because it really depends on, I think, on the personality as well. There are some people, they love to talk about their problems. They love to talk about their troubles because that's how they heal. But there are certain people, they don't heal that way. They heal in a completely different way. And I think society somehow, we have a therapist, we just talk it out, and talk therapy always helps. And unfortunately, it doesn't, not for everyone. It's not for everyone, you know, solution, but obviously there's so much, you know, there's so many ways to help you with therapy and psychologists, and not against them. But there are certain cases where sometimes silence is more powerful than talk it through.
And those are all really great points. And the other thing that comes to mind, and I know you've heard of Bessel van der Kolk, The Body Knows the Score.
Yeah.
He did an experiment with 8 individuals who were in trauma recovery. Mm-hmm. And he had them read their script of their trauma, and he took a look at, took a look at MRIs or magnetic resonance imaging of the brain, left and right side.
Yeah.
What they found, the right side is responsible for, I think, is cue activation. I mean, anybody with PTSD, the right side of the brain is going to be activated if there's environmental cues or vocal cues that can kind of re-trigger the trauma. Mm-hmm. The left side of the brain, and particularly Broca's area, is responsible for verbalizing the trauma. What he found, and this was fascinating research to me, was that when individuals were reliving that trauma, reading it script-wise, the right side of the brain was activated. The left side of the brain was shut down. It was the part that could verbalize a trauma. So when a trauma survivor says, I have no words for what's happened, there may be a good scientific explanation for why that's occurring. And it is that the individuals want to talk about it, but the trauma is so pervasive, they're not capable of talking about it, at least not at that point. Safety and structure is important for any trauma victim. If they feel safe with you, then they're going to talk. If they feel safe with you, then they're going to open up. If they don't feel safe, they're going to find another therapist with whom they feel safe. But talk therapy isn't just the only tool that we can use. There's mindfulness, there's meditation, there's a variety of different techniques that we can use, and we have to tailor to the individual needs of the trauma survivor.
Yes, so very true. And I couldn't agree, you know, more, because sometimes you just need that kind of, not fixing someone, but just to be there for them, just to be present.
Yeah. Exactly. And I had one woman who I worked with many, many years ago when I was a therapist, and she had relapsed after miscarrying her child. Mm. And she was in her mid-30s, and she went through birth canal surgery. She went through a variety of different things to have this child because she knew that this was probably going to be the last opportunity for her to pass on her legacy. And she came into my office just bursting in tears, just crying and crying and crying. And I asked her, what do you need from me right now? And you know what she told me? She said, I need you to leave so I can just sit in the quiet. Yeah. Now, I made sure all of my confidential information was off of my desk. My computer was locked. But what she needed was for me to be kicked out of my office so she could process what was going on silently. So I did that. And then I came back and I made sure that I said, it's okay for me to come in now. And if she told me no, I would have gone back. And that helped her regroup. And she was able to talk a little bit more about how much having that space helped her realize that she did the best that she could given the circumstances that were presented. And that, you know, she was able to show grace to herself for the relapse that occurred as a result of that trauma. So, sometimes a presence beats words.
So true.
So I know you probably have a couple of stories in terms of how gentle presence, nonverbal support can feel safer than conversations. Would you care to share at least one or two of those with us, Noemi?
Yeah, I would love to. So I had my first group session with people that I know and trust and like. They are my friends in a networking community. I would call my second family. So we did a small group sign and thinking session with them. And it was amazing. And even for me, just noticing the shift, for example, in the energy. So we started to do the session. I welcomed them. I set the intentions. And then we had like just a taster session, like for 15 minutes. It was amazing that people just started to become calmer. The whole energy shifted. And they told me after, was like, oh my God, we felt your energy. That was, you are there. You have such a calming and grounding presence. Some people started to just, you know, close their eyes and just started to think. Other people started doodle or journal. And I also invite them to do so because I think it's important that, like, we, you know, process thoughts in different way. Sometimes we doodle, sometimes we just, you know, close our eyes, or sometimes we can just journal. And that's what they did. And so we had our session and everybody, you know, looked more refreshed and so much calmer than we started. And one of my friends told me, it's like, you know, Noemi, it's like doing these sessions is like floating in the ocean. And I felt so supported and safe. And I was free to receive anything. It was kind of a download for me. And that really made my day. And especially that we didn't say a word. And I never asked them to share anything after the session. If they want to, they may. But if they don't want to, they can stay in silent and get on with their days. But it was amazing. That kind of metaphor just really hit me. It's like floating in the ocean. That was really beautiful for me.
And yeah, I like the fact that you give individuals a space to be who they need to be in that moment. And I know I co-facilitate a general grief support group here in my area. And one of the things I tell the participants is that if you want to come in for an hour and a half and just stay silent, not say a word, that's fine. Just be whoever you need to be in that space with your grief, with yourself in that moment. And so it's like building in that permission for silence, that. And as a therapist, I have learned that listening is the key to doing good therapy.
Yeah.
You have to be silent to listen. You can't listen and talk at the same time. If you establish yourself as a listener, two things are going to happen. One, that person is going to feel safe and empowered to share their story. The second thing is you're going to get the full picture. And then you're going to be able to respond with some suggestions that are going to empower them to co-create the reality that they envision in conjunction with the universe. And we can't do that if we're constantly talking.
Yeah.
So I like that you've set that as a norm. The other thing too, I think for individuals who are very intuitive and are empaths, just having that silence helps them get in balance because, you know, I've talked to empaths and I'm sure you have, who I just feel so out of balance because of the information overload that they're and the energy of other individuals' trauma that they absorb, that that's a lot of times they have difficulty finding balance within their own lives because what they process is overwhelming. So to put that as a norm for them, to commit to silence, build in 30, 40 minutes a day or 15 to 20 minutes a day, whatever's going to work, to be with yourself.
Yeah.
And that helps you, I think, tolerate and cope with the information overload that we're bound to get day to day. So tell me the difference between holding space and giving advice. And I also have something to add to that too.
But I love that.
I want to get your take on that.
Yes, because giving advice, and we always like jump in. Like, I think most of us, we jump in, we want to help them by giving them advice, fixing them, fixing things. And what does that mean? It doesn't work. It's usually it doesn't work. And I realized that, you know, in my own family, in my own relationships, that I was always very, you know, quick to just, and really fast to just giving advice and trying to solve problems for other people. Then I realized that I can do that because I'm not accepting them as they are. I can't fix things if they don't want to fix things. And that's very important. And we all need to let people process their things going on in their life in their own way. We can't just fix things for people. That's not even possible. So we just have to be there for them without fixing anything. And I learned this, you know, the hard way, but it really helped me to figure out that, no, Amy, you just stop fixing people. That's not your job. It's their job to fix. You can support them, even being present with them, but let's not give advice to everyone all the time that we are the one who knows the best and we can just fix the whole world.
Yeah, I think that's sage advice and that's sage wisdom. And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I tell my students at Utica University, a person is not going to, you can't fix something that does not want to be fixed.
Yeah.
And I tell them, here's a problem with giving advice. I can give you advice that you take and my advice ends up working out. Who do you credit for things working out? You credit my advice. You don't see it as anything that you did. You see it as my advice that empowered you, not the steps that you took that empowered yourself. Now, if I give you advice and it just turns to crap, who do you have to blame? You've got me to blame. And what that's going to do is keep you from getting into the silence, doing self-reflection to see what you need to do to achieve your goals. Because all your energy is going to be focused on blaming me because my advice stunk.
Exactly. So very true, Dave. And also fixing, like, can really feel like you don't trust them. And that's huge again. And like, I think that silence support really shows respect for their inner strength, which is so important when people struggle with grief, with PTSD, with anxiety, because they do have an inner strength, but we just need to, you know, show support, respect for that.
Yeah, and people do feel more empowered when they feel you aren't trying to meddle or fix them. What has been your experience with that, Noemi?
Yeah, I mean, my experience was I learned the hard way that they just didn't want to get fixed. I mean, they refused even to talk to you afterwards, or they refused any kind of connection with you because you tried to fix them. You didn't trust them. So, and it shows that you have no respect for them at all. So even if you want your best and you are the most kind-hearted person on this planet, they still won't understand, like, what do you want me to do? I don't want to change. I don't want to be fixed. This is my life. Don't meddle with my life. So yeah, it's quite the opposite that you will end up with. And it's very confusing for people because it comes from a good heart, but it's not accepted by them because they have their own struggles and they don't see the world the way you see the world.
No, and particularly if you're dealing with individuals that have issues with authority, they're going to interpret your attempts to fix them as you're trying to tell me what to do. And what's going to happen is that you're going to lose an opportunity to build a longstanding relationship. So for me, if you provide individual with options, trust in their free will to make a decision that is going to be appropriate for them at that time, even if we don't agree with the decision, it empowers them that if the decision goes south, they can reflect and say, okay, this, what can I do different? And then they're likely to come back and talk to you, not so much for you to fix them, but to get feedback in terms of what can I do to avoid this from the future? But if we try to fix somebody and they're resistant to that because of issues with authority, we're going to lose them before we even get started.
Yeah. And so many things are coming from childhood, like childhood trauma, the things happened in their family, you know, the mother and father figure who was always the one they always resisted because they always the authority figure and they always told them what to do, how to do it. And you end up like that person again in their lives and you don't want to do that. So it's a very interesting position to be for sure.
Absolutely. Now, let's say I come to you and say, you know, I want to offer silent support to somebody, but I don't know how to do this. I don't know how, what are some practical steps that I can take to learn to embrace silence in myself so that I can be a silent present for somebody else?
That's a great question. And yes, we can all do that because we have the ability to do that for other people as well. And I think the most important thing that we have to learn is to listen, like being present and listen to people, because we don't listen to each other nowadays. Like everything got so busy, everything got so fast, and we just don't really pay attention to other people, what they say, how they say it, reading between the lines. We just don't have time for that because the span of attention, it just went so, you know, just so down, like just a few minutes for the most people, that like when you ask someone, that's like, how are you? And they, you know, they may want to tell you not just the polite reply that like, I'm fine, but like they start to tell you something like they really how they feel. People never listen. So I think it's listening intentionally to other people. That's the key. And I experienced this with my friends, within my family. I just sat down and, for example, I listened to my son. I didn't give advice. I didn't jump in. I didn't want to fix anything. I just listened to him. We went for a walk many times with my son. He's 13 now. And I just listened and listened. And at the end, when we finished our walk and talk, he told me, he's like, oh, mom, you are like a therapist. I can talk to you anytime. And I didn't do anything. I was just listening to him. I didn't interrupt him. I didn't want to give him advice, but just be there for him.
Well, the other thing I think you did is you met him where he was at. And I think that's taking a walk with him outside. And for a lot of young adults, they process information better when they're moving.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you take a look at individuals who have gone through trauma, I look at one of my favorite writers and musicians, Neil Peart, who took a 55,000-mile road trip after experiencing two major tragedies in his life and he always talked about motion and music helping him, you know, provide clarity. And I'm paraphrasing that, but, you know, for some people, just moving and being outside and just walking and moving that allows them to process as opposed to just sitting in a chair and talking.
Yeah.
And there's this meme that I found that I think it goes something like this, is that sometimes you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, and sometimes in the middle of nowhere you find yourself. And we can't do that if we're not committing to moving.
So true. And especially if you're dealing with teenagers. I mean, they sit a lot. And I think when they start to move, that kind of shifts the energy. And it really helps them to process things that they are trapped inside their body. And so I think it really helps. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Whatever is that, it can be swimming, walking, anything. Just get your body moving because it's amazing.
I agree. Now let's shift and talk about your podcast. After you sent me the email with, you know, with asking to be a guest on the podcast to talk about the silent thinking sessions, I went on LinkedIn. I said, boy, no, Amy's full of surprises. Now we got a podcast on top of this. And I'm sure that was a totally intuitive process for you to come up with that. So tell us about the Silent Thinking podcast. What is the mission of that podcast? And how does that align with your service, the Silent Thinking Sessions?
I had a chat that said that, yeah, I love that question. I know I'm full of surprises nowadays. So just come up things creatively. But for me, it was always, I wanted to start a podcast and I love being a guest on podcasts and love to express myself. And then also, I was also co-hosting a podcast for a while and I really love that part too. But what I love, so somehow I put together all the things that I like in life. I love books. I love being relaxed and just feeling happy about things that I'm doing. So I had a chat with one of my friends and she told me, it's like, did you hear about this ASMR style podcast? And it's like, I think I did because I was listening to a few, but I didn't even know they are ASMR style podcasts. If you don't know what is ASMR, it's autonomous sensory meridian response podcast. So basically, when you listen to someone's voice or something like they brushing to the microphone, very interesting sounds they're making, and they help you to relax, reduce stress, and especially help you to fall asleep easier. And with people like anxiety, depression, PTSD, they always have trouble with sleeping. So what I came up with, because I struggled with a lot in the past, like just falling asleep or waking up in the middle of the night, you know, these 3 a.m. waking up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And what I realized is, okay, if I'm listening to these books, for example, there was this gentleman, British gentleman, ASMR style podcast, and he was reading Sherlock Holmes. And 10 minutes in, I was just, you know, I was sleeping like a baby. And then I came up with the idea that's like, oh my gosh, I love books. I love reading. I don't have much time to read most of the days, but I always try to squeeze it in every day. So what if I start a podcast where I can read people's books and on this very like calming voice and let's see what's going to happen. Maybe I will do some interviews along the road. I don't know. Not yet. I'm just so busy with everything going on. So for me, it's relaxing as a podcast host to read these stories. My podcast was a little bit different than the other ones that they always have like kind of copyright problem. You can't just read any books. So what I did, I reached out to friends and people I trust that, can I read your book as, you know, for this ASMR podcast? And they were just like, of course, I'm happy to do that. I tag them. I support them. I share their Amazon links in the description. So basically, I support people. I give back to them. And so in exchange, I will read their books. And I'm just so happy to do that because I think it's so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any author would say no to you asking them, could you read your book on the air? Because that gives them some more exposure. And, you know, it is such a challenge because there's so many good books out there, but it's just a challenge getting them all out there. And getting the word out and creating awareness. So I think that's a great idea. And I could see that resonating with a lot of individuals who enjoy reading, but maybe don't have the time to read. It's like you are their voice as opposed to, you know, the audio books that they could listen through on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. You become their voice and kind of like their introduction into a whole new world of wonder.
Yes. And so many of these, you know, authors I know, they're not going to get their books published, like, for example, like audiobooks. So maybe it's a good opportunity to them to, you know, give them back and support them in this way, because I love doing that. And you also asked me about like how it ties together with the Silent Thinking Sessions service. So for me, it's like helps people to relax, to stay calm and to sleep better, because it's such a basic human thing to do. Just to have a better sleep, and those books can really help you to sleep. But yeah, there are so many other books out there that are, you know, we can share with the world. So yeah, why not?
Yeah, you've got so many ways you can go with this. You can create a theme, a theme for podcast and have a book that aligns with that. There's a lot of room for your creative juices to flow. So I think it's exciting and. I think it's great, and I will encourage my audience to check the podcast out. So one of my last questions for you, you've given us a lot of good stuff on the importance of silence today. Is there any one other penultimate takeaway you want to leave our audience with today before you go?
Yeah, yes, I would love that. So basically, I think just my advice. So if you can do that for yourself, it's so important, just space to find yourself, to feel seen and to hear your own thoughts again and to be safe with your own thoughts. Because I think that's the biggest problem in today's world, that we are not safe with our own thoughts because we have thoughts that we are even afraid to think about. Mm-hmm. And creating a space where we can, even for ourselves, because I'm not saying everybody come to my side and thinking session and everybody has to sit with me and I'm going to be your, you know, grounding and positive presence there. But we have to learn. I want to teach people how to do that, that just finding space for yourself and be safe with your own thoughts. And that's so important in life.
Thank you for that, Noemi. And my last question for you today is, if individuals want to get in touch with you, find out more about the services you provide, check out the podcast, follow the podcast, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so if you're interested in podcast guesting, you can visit our website, which is podcastconnectionsplural.co. And if you're interested in my silent thinking sessions, please visit noemiberes.com website and you will find more information about that there too. But I'm also on LinkedIn, on Instagram. You type my name in, I will pop up there and I'm happy to connect.
And I will make sure all of your contact information gets in the episode notes when our episode goes live on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and my other podcast platform. So Noemi, thank you so much for another wonderful conversation. I always enjoy spending time with you, and I hope we can do this again when you have another project that your intuition is guiding you towards. Look me up and we'll do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. I will definitely reach out to you. Thank you so much for today.
My pleasure. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.